Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Well, it's a new year, 2019, and for many of us, we face New Year's surprises. Many of us, we face the surprises of numbers on our credit card bill and the numbers on the weigh scale. It's kind of funny because we get the same surprise every single year, and I can't help you with the numbers on the weigh scale, but there is something I can help you with, the numbers on your finances, because Jesus spends a lot of time talking about finances and money. And so we're starting a four-part message series called Investing with God, and today I want to introduce the series with a message entitled Best Bang for Your Buck. And I'm going to be building this in part on a book by Andy Stanley. He wrote a book called Fields of Gold. And if you want access to that book on our crosslands.live link, if you go to that, we always have message notes. At the bottom of the message notes, there's a link on where you can find that book. And on crosslands.live, it's also the easiest way to connect with us. If you're new, or if you want more information, that you can fill in your contact information and we'll get a hold of you to answer any questions you might have. And we also have in the message notes part of it, there's where do we go from here questions. How do I apply this on a daily basis? Because as a community of followers of Jesus here at Crosslands Church, following Jesus is not a Sunday morning one-hour thing. It's a whole life thing. And so I don't expect that somebody would come and listen to a message on Sunday morning and go, great, that's it. The expectation is that we apply it. And in helping that as well, we also take text messages. If you have a comment or question, if you want to interact with the content this morning, my number is at the top of the screen, and you can text me, and if we have time at the end, which we should, then we can deal with that as well. When I was in Bible college, 20-something years ago, we got an unexpected check in the mail because my aunt died, who I barely knew, and she left us money in her inheritance. That was a nice surprise. It wasn't a lot. But, free money is free money. Over 100 years ago, it was actually illegal for insurance companies to offer life insurance because it was considered morbid to benefit from somebody else's death. Now, I had a thought about this because if you're going to get an inheritance from your parents, and most of that usually comes from some kind of life insurance, why should the parents be paying for that? If I'm the beneficiary, shouldn't I be paying for that because I'm the one that's going to benefit from it? Now, we haven't actually worked that out yet. My mom's here this morning. We could talk about that if you'd like. But that does seem kind of morbid, right? I'm paying into something I'm going to benefit from when my parents die. There are some of us here that can look forward to a great inheritance. There are some that will look forward to no inheritance at all, depending on your circumstance of life, what you're growing up with, what your relationships with your parents are like, or if you even have one. But you know what? Apart from whatever you can expect financially from your parents, each one of us has an enormous inheritance waiting for us from God. That is part of the hope of the good news of Jesus, that we're not just here for now and that's it, but that we await an incredible inheritance. And what Jesus talks about, we're going to get there. Jesus says we can invest in that coming inheritance. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6 or swipe to it or whatever. I'm using a paper version today, but it doesn't matter what mechanism you're using. I've never seen somebody come in with scrolls. That was the original. And we have it on the screen as well. So Jesus says this in his famous, it's called a package of teaching that's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Today we might use words like where your investment might be eroded by cost of living increases. Okay, that they didn't have that kind of thing then. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Jesus says, aim for your future investment. Aim for your future inheritance and invest there. What do we invest? Well, we invest, I think, three basic things: time, energy, and money. In some cases, you can say that money covers all three of those. Because when you have a job, you're investing time. Some of us even invest energy into our jobs, right? But at the end of it, that time, that energy that's invested results in a paycheck you get. So the money you receive as payment represents your time, your energy. It represents a significant portion of your life, which is valuable. The wages we earn, it's the expenditure of our time and money. There is the odd, you know, we get money from someone else, either a legacy gift or a Christmas gift or whatever. We get cash from somebody else, and we can invest that as well. That's money that doesn't represent energy and time, but the majority of our money comes from energy and time. Now, the best future, here's the hope of the good news of Jesus, the best future you can possibly have is the future, your future with God. And it's in your best interest to invest in that. It's in your best interest to invest in your future with God. Jesus talked more about money than almost anything else. There's a lot of things we talk about. We talk about the investment of time in God's kingdom. We talk about having our relationships invested in God's kingdom. But the one thing Jesus talked about more than anything else was money. And it's a sticky subject because people get upset when you talk about money, especially in this context. What even is money? I kind of looked into this a little bit. Money is economic exchange. The word for money in Malay and Slovak, which are completely different languages when you talk about language families, they both mean to replace a loss. So when you get paid by your job, it's the replacement of your time, and energy is replaced by money. It's that exchange, replacement of a loss. In Hebrew and Swedish, again, two languages from completely different language groups, money means to make equal. So there's an understanding that money represents an equal exchange. But money is much more than just payment, than compensation for your work. Money relates to our needs. Money relates to our emotions. Money relates to our self-concept because it's a symbol not just of work, but it's also a symbol of achievement. It's a symbol of status. It's a reinforcer. It's a motivator. It's a source of anxiety, whether enhancing your anxiety or reducing your anxiety. Here's a quote from a book. It's a business book, Canadian Organizational Behavior, 8th edition, 2012, that I borrowed from Azard about 5 years ago and haven't finished yet. And it says this: money is probably the most emotionally meaningful object in contemporary life. Only food and sex are its close competitors as common carriers of such strong and diverse feelings, significance, and strivings. And that's why that even though money is a means to an end, it also carries huge emotional weight. And we've done a number of series here across the church on giving, and we get strong reactions to that. Why? Because of all these reasons. It carries huge emotional weight, even when we talk about it in the context of what the Bible says. I don't strive to stand up here and give you my opinions about money. I strive to tell you what the Bible says, what God says about it. I'm not a financial whiz, I'm not an economist, but I do want to start with a couple of very quick definitions, and they're not going to be hardcore, but just some clarifications. The first thing is what you spend, an expenditure. You spend money with the expectation of return. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're putting money on the table, you expect something in return. To do anything else would be to be throwing money away. You expect something in exchange for your money, whether it's an experience, some kind of enjoyment, a personal benefit, anything that's not spending with something in return, you're throwing money away. And this is why, you know, you tell your kids, don't waste your money on that, because we don't see it as a legitimate return for the money that's being put out, although they might, right? Why are you wasting money on video games? It's not a waste, it's fun. So that's what an expenditure is. It's you spend something, not even just money, time, energy. You put something into something because you expect something in return. An investment is an expenditure where the return doesn't happen now. An investment is where the return happens sometime in the future, sometime after time, or sometimes across time. You invested something and you expect something in return after time. So, for example, people spend a lot of time and energy exercising. Why? They expect a return. Washboard abs or better health even. Weight loss. They expend energy. They invest it. Because it's not going to... Bad news. It's not going to happen right away. I went to the gym once. I didn't look any better. Right? It happens over time. That's an investment. Education is an investment. Sure, it's money, but you also have to expend a lot of time and energy studying and all of that. You put a lot of work into it so that you have more knowledge or you have credentials or you get a job. That's an investment. Now, a financial investment, more specifically, is an expenditure or a sacrifice with the expectation of future return that's usually financial, isn't always financial. That's a financial investment. I put money out. I expect a return, but it's not going to happen now. That's a financial investment. We have an RRSP program here at Crossings Church, and everybody that has opted into that, they meet with a financial investor, and the investor comes in, and they say, okay, how much do you want to put away towards your retirement, and what's the risk level? See, we have an expectation that I have an expectation. I don't plan when I'm 85 to be surviving on cat food, so I have to put money away so that in the future I see a return. That's what an RSP is all about, and you don't pay tax on it. So what makes a worthwhile? What makes an investment worthwhile? It's so obvious I almost don't even want to say it. An investment is worthwhile when your return exceeds the investment. If I put away $10 for retirement and in 40 years, I get $10 back, that's not considered a worthwhile investment. I expect to get more than I put in. That's what a worthwhile investment is. I get more than I put in, and the best investment guarantees a return that is insulated from loss. If you've been around for the past 10 years, you know that a lot of people invested a lot of money in retirement, and in 2008, a lot of it was lost. So where's the guarantee? This is what Jesus is talking about. Invest in something where moss won't eat it, rust won't destroy it, where thieves won't take it. And we know that no investment in this world is guaranteed against loss. There's simply no guarantees like that. But God's economy is not dependent on the world's economy. You could be in the worst financial situation, the worst financial climate. Investing in God's kingdom always gives you return. What does that look like? I'm going to tell you a non-financial investment story. So I used to do the youth ministry here at Crossing Church years and years and years ago, and I would invest a lot of time and a lot of energy in people. And I don't want to get emotional on this, but I just can't help it. But I spent a lot of time with Jordan Ratter and his girlfriend at the time. Why do I get emotional about this? Because now they're running a small group that has had a huge impact on my kid's life. A huge impact. I can't say enough about it. I'm kind of embarrassed that they're even here. And in some cases, it's been life-changing. Now, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know what kind of response was going to happen. I respond to what God is calling me to do. I invest, and in trust, God turns it around and does something. He does something that goes beyond my imagination. Trust is something that is in short supply when it comes to money. And it's in our best interest again, when you're investing in the market or something like that, to do your work. Who here would find somebody and go, here, let me just trust you with all my money. Just take it and invest it. Why? Because we don't trust that they have our best interest in heart. But you can trust God because he has your best interest at heart. Do something with this part of my investment. In the case of God's economy, you can't always predict the nature of the return. And I know there's skepticism. I know where we've all seen the stories of Southern televangelists that draw out their vowels, Give me your $10 and God will return it 100-fold. That's what I mean by the drawing out the vowels, okay? And you think there's got to be a scam in there sometime, and that's not what God is talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. That's just using God to get money, treating him like a one-armed bandit, like the lottery. You can't predict the return, But here's the strange concept. This is the weird concept. This is what Jesus is talking about here. And he doesn't just say it here. He says it elsewhere in the Gospels as well. Investing in God's kingdom guarantees a reward. Guarantees a reward. It's insulated from loss. It's immune to loss. Investing in God's kingdom, and here's the really weird part, and I can't explain this, investing financially in God's kingdom guarantees a reward. Not just time and energy, investing financially, it guarantees at the very least a spiritual reward, because every time you demonstrate trust in God, two things are going to happen. One, you will be challenged by fear. We'll talk about more about that later. You will be challenged by fear because you are stepping out into something that is foreign territory. And the second thing that is going to happen is God will come through. And your trust in God increases. The word is faith. Okay, we've used faith to mean like blind belief. That's not what it means. It means trust. And when you step deeper and deeper into levels of trust, you face greater levels of fear, and God comes through and shows you he's trustworthy. At the very least, when you trust God, when you invest in his kingdom, when you invest even financially in his kingdom, at the very least, spiritual growth happens. But more happens as well. We sponsored a child in the Philippines, and his sponsorship came to an end. And I don't know if I'm really allowed to tell this story, because it broke some rules, but I'm going to anyway. Don't report this to the denomination. So our child sponsorship came to an end, and the person in charge of the sponsorship called me. And we have that kind of connection, which you don't always with some of the programs, but with Child Care Plus, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, I know the person that administrates it on the ground. And she said, a kid came to the door, I think, of the orphanage that she runs, and he was too old for sponsorships, because sponsorship only goes up to the end of high school, or whatever the version of high school is in the Philippines. And she said, and he was in tears because he wanted to go to college and didn't have money for college. And she said, the kid you sponsored is up at an end, but if you're willing, we'll redirect the sponsorship to his college education. And that's the part where it was against the rules, because he's not supposed to go to college, only high school. And I said, that's fine. His name was William. And our sponsorship money went to his college education for 2 years, and he graduated, and he was thrilled, and he got a job. And I've met him. We're like friends on Facebook. And that was around the time when the economy in North America was tanking, absolutely tanking. If I had taken that sponsorship money and put it on the market, it would have been lost. It would have been gone. But that money invested in a kid in the Philippines will never be lost. That was an investment in a life that will always see a return. Always see a return. Changed his life. That's an investment in the kingdom of God. What do I get out of that? I don't care. I'm investing in God's kingdom. In fact, it was a couple of weeks ago, actually throughout the month of December, we announced a project we were going to do. We were going to support one of our fellow churches in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. They had a building they were just about to get into. They were struggling to get into because of code issues, and they needed $10,000, and we announced it to Crosslands Church, and we said, you know, we're going to, out of our helping others budget, we're going to match the first $3,000 and see how much we put in. Last I saw, we raised just over the $10,000 that was necessary. Right. That's worth applause, because that investment will never be wasted. There's a church up in the middle of nowhere in Nipigon, Ontario, which I probably will never go to. But they have a building that is going to help impact their community. And the return on that is far more than what you would see in the market. Far more than what you would see in the market. And we helped participate in that. And really, that's an honor for us. That's not a loss. The return on that investment, you will never know. One day you might meet somebody who becomes a follower of Jesus because of that church, and maybe you had a part in helping make that happen. That's huge. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven. Here's where we have a problem with that, because we think heaven is some disembodied place that happens after we die. What would you need money there for? doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Heaven, that's not what heaven means. Here, one reason we run into that problem is because throughout the Gospels, Jesus is preaching about the kingdom of God, God's rule on earth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. When Matthew writes, Matthew is writing more for a Jewish audience, and they had a strong reticence to use the name of God, so he uses kingdom of heaven as a euphemism for kingdom of God. And so, because it's the first gospel, we read through the gospel, and every time we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus says kingdom of God, we think he means some place that exists after we die, but he's not talking about that. He's talking about God's rule, now and forever. So when you invest in the kingdom, it doesn't mean you're throwing money away into an eternity that doesn't need or use money. It's investing in God's kingdom here and from here to forever, because God's kingdom was inaugurated on earth with Jesus' death and resurrection. It's already started. Jesus said, the kingdom is among you, or the kingdom is within you, and that's what we're investing in. We're not throwing money away to a disembodied future. We're investing in what God is doing in the world. There's no investment that's wasted when it's invested in God's rule. So when we talk about this investment, why is it your best bang for the buck? And I think there's three reasons. There's at least three reasons. Why is God's investment plan foolproof? Why is it insulated from loss? First of all, because God loves you and cares for you. That's the first reason. It's like he's a financial advisor, and we can... He loves us. He wants what's best for us. But the corollary to that is God is capable. He has the ability to give return on investment. He has the ability to make the most with whatever dollar or time or energy investment you make. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. And he's able to do what's best for you. And the third thing is because the return is guaranteed. How do we know? Because Jesus just said it. Jesus says the return is guaranteed. There's a freedom from anxiety in that. There's a kingdom gain in that. And the biggest issue is, do we actually believe it? I think that the strongest response to that is we believe it because Jesus said it. We believe it or we don't, but he said it. So why don't we do this? Just as there are three reasons that it's a foolproof investment, I think there are at least three reasons that we don't. The first thing is because I think we think we need things that we just really want. My son Graydon asked me, what do you want for Christmas? Or what do you need? And I said, I don't really need anything. Well, there's things I want. I don't really need. I really don't need anything. I already have deodorant. But sometimes we confuse what we want with what we need. I mean, our TV is only 1080p. It's not 4K. I kind of need a 4K TV. No, I want a 4K TV. I hate to tell you this. Nobody needs a 4K TV. Nobody needs a 4K TV. It was in the book I'm reading, or maybe in the small group study, Andy Stanley says, go to a third world or a developing country, or they call it majority world country because everything else is demeaning. Go to a majority world country and talk to somebody who's living on the edge of subsistence and explain to them why you need to upgrade your car that gets you from here to there, but maybe doesn't have a Bluetooth connection on the radio. Explain that. We want those things. We don't need those things. That's the first reason. Second thing is because we want to control. We want to have the control over those things. We want to have control over our money. And then a corollary to that is because we trust God with our eternity. I trust God with my eternal soul. I may even trust him with my relationships. And I may even trust him with my career choices. But I don't trust him with my financial decisions. We were visiting Michelle's cousin, and her husband said, it's funny how if you want to buy a $150 pair of shoes, you go buy a $150 pair of shoes. But if God tells you to give $150 to somebody in need, you pray about it. So what do you do with this? Investing in God's kingdom is worthwhile Jesus says your return is guaranteed. So what do you do with this on January the 6th, beginning of 2019? Here's what I'd like you to do with this week, is take stock. What that means is ask yourself the question, and I don't mean just ask, but actually pursue the information. What are you investing in? How much do you invest of your time and your money and your energy? What are you investing in? What are you putting your money towards you expect a future return? Financially, your RSPs? Do you invest in relationships? Do you invest in experiences? Do you invest in objects? Do you invest in objects that have a long lifespan, or do you invest in objects that will be obsolete in 2 years? Do you invest in things that are outside yourself, that are beyond yourself? And among all those options, and maybe more, what return do you expect from them? There's a couple of ways to measure that. First is look at your expenditures, and it's really easy to do that. Look at your, anybody still have a bank book? No, go online, right? Where did I spend my money the past month? That's what's happened in the past. And the second thing is look at what you're planning on doing in the future. Look at your budget. I hope you have a budget. If you don't have a budget, then you don't have a plan to spend your money. You're just spending haphazardly. Look at your budget. How is your budget laid out? What's your expenditure is your looking at your priorities after the fact, after you've already done it. Your budget is what you plan your priorities to be. Now, I would say do this earlier rather than later, by which I mean this afternoon, because by tomorrow it's gone. You forgot. Look at your budget, look at your expenditure. Say, where am I investing my money, and what return do I expect to get from that? That's it. If you're a real numbers guy or girl, put percentages on. Put a percentage on, okay, I spend this much on food, I spend this much on car payments, I spend this much, this is how much I'm saving for vacation or whatever, and all that stuff is fine, but just for your own awareness, take stock. I will say this, I hear a lot about people preaching and advertising, preaching biblical principles. We're not talking about principles here, because investing with God is not about a plan. It's not about a principle, but it's about investing with a person we trust, the person, the person, capital P. To include God means, at some level, giving up a measure of control. Doesn't mean being stupid. I'm not talking about clearing out your bank account and going find a homeless person on the street and just give them all the money. I'm talking about this week, take stock and say, what am I investing in? What return do I expect? Now, I really want to really, really quickly highlight our giving options at Cross and Stretch, okay? Very quickly. You can give in all kinds of different ways, but I don't want you to make a connection between directly this message and the giving options, because my challenge to you this week is to take stock, not to start giving to Cross and Stretch. You're welcome to, okay? We'll take cash, checks, text, all those options. If you have any questions, go to the information desk to find out more. But the second thing is, we've done this once before, and we are offering a parallel study, an opportunity to go deeper with the message today, or with this message series. So I mentioned at the beginning that I'm kind of partnering with a book that Andy Stanley wrote. Now, here's a completely different perspective in this study by the same author, Andy Stanley. He takes a completely different tack, and so we're going to be making this available next week. Hopefully we get all the books by then. But it's a great way to go deeper with this. And the way you do that is you get a bunch of friends, set a time to meet weekly or every other week, and we have an online video study that you can go through. I believe it's 4 parts. And he'll take you through how to be rich. That's a great idea, right? Anybody want to know how to be rich? I watched the study. It was amazing. It was really, really good. I wouldn't advertise something that I wouldn't vet first. So we're going to make this available. We're going to have this available next week. If you're really, really anxious, you can go to crosslands.live and say, listen, I want to get into this right away. We just don't have hard copies of the books available this week. So it's a great study. Get together with some friends. Plan to meet weekly just to go through this over the next 4 weeks. And the last thing I want to do, I want to give you an invitation. We have, at Cross and Stretch, we do this every week now, but maybe you're here and you go, I don't know what it means to even have a relationship with God. And what you're saying sounds compelling, and not about the money part, but even the whole life part. And so I want to give you the opportunity how to get in to that relationship with God. See, the whole point of Jesus coming with his message of love, with his demonstration of love, was to give us access into God's rule, access into God's kingdom. It's a choice that's available to each one of us. So the life is not easy, but it is simple. And it's as simple as ABC. A, admit your need from God for God. That what I'm doing right now isn't working for me. There's got to be something more. B, believe that God has that life for you. And he's made that possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. And C, you have to commit, which means stop living the old way and live a new way, because that new way is now available to you. And if that's you, you have to do something tangible. You have to do something concrete to make that happen. And the best means I have available to you is to go to that crosslands.live website, put in your contact information. There's a box to tick. I want to become a follower of Jesus. I want into this new life. If you don't have a smart device, that you can do that. You can also do it on paper. We have connection cards at the back of Theater One. We have them throughout the lobby. Fill one of those out, give it to the information desk, and then we'll get in contact with you and help you on the spiritual journey. I'm going to go to, got a couple of text messages. First one, as a youth leader, there's nothing I love more than seeing the youth I serve get involved in the church and ministering to their friends. That is the best return for my time served. That's cool. Thank you. And the next one is, can I say something? Yes. So God calls us to be in his family, and he empowers us with, come on up, Edna, come on up. Empowers us with gifts, with the means to build one another up spiritually. And sometimes he gives a message to somebody that's not the pastor, and that's Edna. And so Edna's going to share what God is saying to her for us this morning.
That's any of us who's brave enough to stand here and not being the pastor. So I haven't talked to Fred the whole week. Actually, I haven't talked to Fred in probably
Since last year, for sure.
2-3 weeks or something. And God is absolutely saying something to us today as a church. I've been praying for Crosslands weekly for about 6 months now. And this week, because I have my kids, I wasn't able to come. But anyway, I was praying and praying for us. And constantly, I keep hearing this. I keep hearing God saying to us, saying, I love you. Invest your time in me. And here I am, the whole week thinking, is it really this only for me, or is it for us? And I hear Fred talking this message, so I really couldn't stay in that seat and not share this with you. So God is really speaking deeply inside to each of us. From you, whether you're a little child or an older person, he's telling us, and I wish I could be more eloquent to say how much God loves you. Our Father wants us. That I wish I could be more eloquent to tell you how much he loves us. He loves you. God, the creator of this galaxy, this universe, loves you. And he's asking you, invest your time in me.
Thank you, Edna. Thank you for being willing to step up and say what God is telling you. I'm going to ask that we would stand as we close the service this morning. When the service is done, we always keep Theater One open and available as a prayer room. And this morning, the focus for prayer is to put our trust in the God who loves us, to be willing to partner with him as he calls us to trust him. And so we always encourage people to stick around after the message, after the service. And I always encourage people to find at least one person you've never met and have a meaningful conversation with them, not just a hi, how are you, fine. But this is a place where we want people to belong, to connect in relationship. But given that Theater One becomes a prayer room, we just ask that you do that in the lobby and allow people that want to stay and pray. If the message has impacted you today and you need to invest some time in that, please stay and do that. If you have kids in the kids program, they're going to run for another 15 minutes to give you at least that amount of time to do that. So take the opportunity, and let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for your love. Father, I pray that for each one here, you would make that love a tangible reality this week. And more than that, that we would increasingly come to understand how much you are trustworthy, how much we can trust you. And the more that we do trust you, the more you prove yourself reliable. Father, show us increasingly that any investment made in your kingdom is immune to loss. It's insulated from loss. But Father, I also pray that we would experience the return on that investment. Father, there are hundreds, thousands of people that have gone before that invested in your kingdom, and we are the recipients of much of that. And Father, we want to participate as well. Father, I pray for your kingdom rule to come in more and more people's lives, that people would come into relationship with you, people would experience healing, people would experience relational restoration, people would experience the healing of emotional wounds, the healing of physical ailments. Father, that we would follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and in the trials and challenges of life, we would see you at work in us and through us to other people. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.